they just all burn out and don't want to do. But I'm excited about having him here. I just ask you to open up your hearts and to receive what it is the Lord would have for us today. Okay, Pastor John.
I think it's loud. Don't you love the Lord this morning? He is awesome. You can turn in your Bible, if you will. We'll begin in just a moment in Hebrews chapter 6. We were on our way over here this morning, and we only come once a year. Pastor Don says, I want you to come once a year. It's kind of like, he's told me, he says, it's like I take a bath once a week whether I need it or not. We want you to come once a year whether we need you or not. But we were on our way over here, and we realized we haven't memorized the directions. So we were on interstate, and Helen says, I think we take exit 2B. And my Shakespearean background came up, and I says, are you sure it's 2B or not 2B? And she says, it's 2B. I said, I'm not so sure it's not 2B. But it was 2B, and we got off on the right exit, and here we are. Thank God for that. I love the Lord today with all my heart. I would minister and serve Him whether I had a title or not. Titles are nothing. Ministry for God is everything. I really, in a lot of prayer and soul searching, when you come to a church where you realize there's so much transition going on. How many of you know there's never not going to be a time in your life where there's not a transition? You're always going to be transitioning. The key to life is learning how to transition in grace and graciously. When you come to a church where you know they're moving. Because see, the kingdom of God's not a place, it's a dynamic. It's a moving force. It's a power. And we're learning as Christians that we're not just the ones that are heading toward that kingdom. A lot of the Western culture churches especially are all focused on the kingdom that we get to go to. And Jesus said, it's without observation, for the kingdom is not there or there. It isn't something you just see someplace, for the kingdom of God is within you. And I think we're learning as a church that the moving of the kingdom of God is continuous. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Jesus says, if you're going to enter into the kingdom, you've got to press into it. There's always movement in the kingdom. And so don't feel bad that your life never lands somewhere and you get to stay there. Even where God talks about trials and temptations, He said, there have no temptation taken you, but it's common to man. So don't think you're in the boat by yourself and start complaining and moaning and groaning and go into pity parties because you're having a trial. Paul said to Timothy, if you're going to be in the kingdom and you're going to be righteous, you're going to have tribulation. But we need to understand that he says there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful. And see, you can trust God during the transitional time. And see, transitional time, usually the beginning of it is a prophetic vision or dream or anointing or a promise of God. And then the transition seems to be empty and contradictory, in fact, many times, to the promise that God's given us. And then you have the fulfillment. But it's in that transitional time that God is trustworthy. You can trust Him that it will come to pass. What God's doing in this church is He's moving you to a higher level of living, and you're not just understanding that what God has for you is all beneficial for you. We're finally coming to a point, some churches are, coming to a point where it's not about us being blessed. It's about God being blessed through us. And thank God that we're coming to a point where even in our emotions doesn't have to be stimulated by some outward adjustment of God supernaturally doing a work for us. But Lord, we're not the people that need to be stimulated. We're a people who want to move by revelation, not stimulation. And we thank You today that You're bringing a revelation into us as who we are for You in these last days. And see, I believe that you have the mercy churches and the grace churches, and then you've got glory churches. And some churches are moving from one transition to another out of these realms. The mercy people are the ones who realize that God's love and grace is upon me, His love and power is upon me, and He has mercy upon me. And we all still live in that mercy because His mercy's endured every generation. And I thank God His mercies are new every morning. But the grace people are the people who move beyond God's love and power just being over them and helping them and having mercy on them. The grace people at least understand blessings and benefits and righteous living on the inside. And so this church has moved into the grace season. But see, God's been dealing with you about this transition. You're now moving into what you will begin to understand as the glory season. The glory season is the love, power, and demonstration of Jesus Christ through you to the unbelieving world, to the dying world. And not many American churches right now are interested in the glory season. They want to see God's manifestations. They want to see miracles, and they call that glory. But the true glory of God is given when we release who Jesus is within us, and others are attracted to the Lord because of the awesomeness of God that's within our lives. And I want to thank God that that's where this church, Lamplight, I think is right in the middle of that transition. To where in these last days, whatever that means, God's glory is going to be manifested and revealed through us, and we're going to get way beyond Him just having to prove Himself to us. And thank God for that. But in Hebrews chapter 6, I want to read verse 1 and verse 2, and then I want to go down to verse 9 and 12 in Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, beloved saints, the Lord would say to us today, let's leave the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ and let's go on to the perfection that He has called us to. And I want to thank God that it's not me perfecting myself and getting so right that God's impressed. It's me yielding to the impression of Jesus Christ, who is my perfection. And let's go on into the perfection of what Jesus Christ has given to us. Let's quit trying to get better, and let's live in the dynamics of He who has brought the perfection to us. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, and of doctrines of baptisms, even baptisms of the Holy Spirit, baptisms of water, baptisms of fire. There comes a point where God says, let's move beyond just the teaching on baptisms, but let's move on even beyond the teachings of laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and even eternal judgment. All of those things are important and they're vital, but God says there's something we can do that moves us beyond even the need for the doctrine and the theology of who Jesus is. There comes a point in our life where we move into the reality of who He is, and we are able to reveal Him to others in such a way that they know Him even before they know the doctrine of Him. See, people are looking for the reality of Jesus and who He is. They'll learn later about the facts of Jesus and the history of Jesus if you'll at least show them Jesus first. And we're trying to show them the history and the facts and the Bible doctrines of Jesus, and they want to see who He is. And God, we're those people that You've chosen to reveal who Jesus is. In verse 9, but we, beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that go with your salvation, though we speak in this manner. And then I want to jump to verse 12. The reason we need to move on into the fullness of the revelational power of who Jesus is and move into the higher calling of who He is so that you won't become sluggish. You see, I look in the American church at large as we've traveled 11 years now, after pastoring 26 years, we've traveled 11 years and been to hundreds of churches, and I see many, many, many sluggish Christians. To me, a sluggish Christian is one that's going to go to heaven, but they're sluggish in their walk while they're here in this earth. And God wants to so free you that nothing holds you down. Let me make a statement that's going to really be the center of what God wants to say to us today. God hates His own people, and He grieves over His own people being a dust people. You see, we started out, and even in the beginning, you've got to be careful that you don't think that Adam was just a creature of the dust. He was made from the dust, but God breathed into him who He was. So He wasn't just a dust man. His body, His flesh, was formed. God created the world, but He formed man. Creation was something God did from a distance by His word and by His desire as the Holy Spirit moved upon the earth and upon trees and land and sea and water. But God personally got involved with man, and He didn't just create man. He formed man. He put His own heart and hands on man and said, I want myself in him. And actually the picture in the Bible is that God says it is good, God actually knelt down to that lifeless form that he had formed with his own hands, and he said, this isn't good enough. He knelt down and he worshiped. The word it really in the Hebrew is he worshiped Adam, not worshiped him as a creature, but worshiped himself in him. He breathed in him and he adored his own creation. And you know when God really is able to adore himself is when he sees himself in you. He loves the Bible. Paul put it this way. He kind of changed it in the New Testament. He said, for it pleases the Father to reveal in me his Son Jesus. It pleases God. Not that we just know Jesus, that we are going to see Jesus one day, but what really pleases God is when Jesus is revealed in us and others can really see him. And so I want you to get that verse. But then in John chapter 4, would you turn there with me quickly in John chapter 4. In John 4, especially verses 10 through 14, Pastor was mentioning earlier about the woman at the well. Praise God. He's one of the only other people. I know maybe two other people in this whole world that I've met, although you know there's many that God has revealed this to. But this woman actually was considered to be a holy woman because in the Jewish culture, if you were married over six times and you married into the seventh, or you became a seventh wife because your husbands had died, you were considered to be a holy woman because you continually carried on the seed, even generations down. And so she was, in fact, the Jewish people and the Samaritans wouldn't even have listened to a woman, period, except this woman was a holy woman in God's sight and in their sight. But here she is at the well, and Jesus is sitting there, and he says in verse 10 of John 4, Jesus answered and said to her, if you really knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living waters. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? And are you greater than our father Jacob? There's a key word here today. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and he drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinks this water will thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, now watch this, will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The message that the Lord put on my heart today for this church corporately and for you individually, and that's why you're here, is God's going to transition you in this season from being a well people to becoming river people. God's going to change us from just being wells. Wells are awesome. Wells are for our obtaining more of God, drinking from God, learning of God, tasting of the Lord and seeing that He is good. But this is the season. Why is God digging so deep in your life? Why has the ministry in the last years of this church been digging into the areas that were soulish, the areas that were carnal, the areas that were fleshy, the areas that were dust? Because God is taking the dust out of the wells. Because He wants the rivers to flow. And see, I started out by saying to you, God is grieved when we become a dust people. Because see, you're not just a human being, but you're a called, supernaturally activated, ordained agent of the miraculous of God in these last days. And God needs you not to just need a miracle. He needs you to believe that you will become the dispenser of His miraculous powers in these last days. You know what? You can be in a certain physical, emotional, mental, or financial, or even family condition, and God will still use you to release the supernatural power of God. See, the enemy's duped you when he says, well, if you don't get your healing or if you don't get your family back together, God can't use you. What a lie that is. God can especially use you. Even when everything around you seems to be out of order, the one who is in you is still in order. See, the enemy needs to know this. Everything around me can be chaotic, but the one in me has divine order. And see, I'm not preaching myself. I'm not giving people me. I'm giving them Jesus Christ who is in me. And He is totally together. He is totally whole. He is totally delivered. He is totally free. And He totally knows what to do. Amen. And God, we want to thank You that we're not restricted by what condition our condition is in, but it's what position our hearts are in that is the key to releasing the fullness of who Jesus Christ is. And so even in here, out of your innermost being shall spring up wells of living water. But then if you go to John 7, and here that transition is, in John 7, Jesus is speaking again, and he's speaking about the baptismal power of the Holy Spirit who comes into us in a new anointing and releasing of God. And he says that he who thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, in John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly or out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. God, I want to thank you today for the wells of life that we always have available to us, and we can draw from it, and they'll never run dry. The wells of God will never run dry. But Father, I want to thank you that instead of just being a person who lives by the well, I now become a person through whom the rivers will flow. And my question to you today is, how did your wells and how did your rivers get clogged up with earth? Who put the earth in it? Who put the earth in it? See, one of the reasons God's agreed with dust, us thinking that we are just dust, is this. When Satan came in the form of the serpent and beguiled Eve, and then Adam failed by not being in the position that he should have been in, it was really a greater failure on Adam's part than it was Eve's part. But when that happened, God cursed the serpent. And he said, from this day forward, you will crawl on your belly and you will eat the dust of the earth. Now here's, and I know this is reaching a little far here, but the truth of the matter is, when you learn how to walk in the Spirit and by the Spirit and of the Spirit, and you want to be a spirit person instead of a dust person. See, a lot of Christians that are going to heaven still live like dust people. They just live on the level of dirt. They live on the level of carnality. They live on the level of average. They live on the level of soulish. And God's wanting you this year to know that this is your time where He's been digging into you for months and months and years and removing just loads of dirt out of you. Not just dirt that was on you, dirt that was in you. We have dirt in us, not just on us at times. And I want you to know that God is ready to remove the dirt that's been clogging up our wells. And see, God doesn't want you to consider yourself to just be a person who's, well, praise the Lord, I'm saved by grace, and at least I get to go to heaven, because that makes you a dust person. Because you're not just a person saved by grace. Sure, it was grace that caused you to be saved, but you're more than just a saved person. You're a redeemed person. You're a person who's been ordained by the power of the Holy Ghost. You're a person who's been ordained of God to see the curses reversed in your life. You see, not just to try to get a break from the curses. I mean the curses reversed. You see, one thing I know about God, He's not just a curse breaker, but He reverses the curse. See, a curse breaker can stop a curse. See, here's the example in Scripture. 10 men came to Jesus and they had leprosy all over their bodies and they were going to die. And some of their fingers and toes were already eaten off and their skin gone. And then all of a sudden Jesus speaks to them and He breaks the curse. I mean, He stops the leprosy. Not one of those 10 ever had any more leprosy. I mean, it stopped. But one of them came back to Jesus and he says, I just want to thank you that you would even touch me. I want to thank you that you love me. I want to thank you that you healed me from the progressiveness of that disease. Thank you that you broke that curse. But Jesus says, you know what? I can do more than break a curse. I can reverse it. And I believe Jesus when he said, now you go your way and you will be made whole. I believe his fingers grew back. I believe his toes came back. I believe he received something inside of him that caused him not to live like just a cleaned up leper, but he was a redeemed, renewed, restored, refreshed man of God. And that's what God wants you to know, that I'm not just one to stop the curses that have been plaguing your life, but I will actually reverse them and bring blessings that will replace those curses. And God, I want to thank you that that's where we're at with you today, is that you're bringing us into this transitional period of time. I believe by 2008, we're going to start enjoying this in a new way. That we're going to become not only a well people, whether you take that physically, emotionally, spiritually, and I'm well, or people who have the wells, we're going to become the river people of God. And I want to thank God that He's breaking and reversing those curses. And see, here's another reason why I believe you need to understand the heart of God, that He's not putting you down for walking in the flesh, but He has so much more for you. Even when God delivered Israel out of Egypt, The first thing he did, you would have thought God would have sent them straight across. It was the quickest way to go into the promised land. But instead, the Bible says God led them the long way around. Why did he lead them the long way around? Because he didn't want them to go through the land of the Philistines. And in the Hebrew culture, the word Philistines actually means to roll in the dirt. And God didn't want his people who he just delivered from dirt and from slime and from slavery and from abuse and from all kinds of molestation and rape and murder. He didn't want them to leave that arena and then have to walk into another arena of dirt. And you need to trust God that if he's leading you a long way around and God, we see the vision, we see the fulfillment. Why can't we just go straight across? Why do we have to do this number? Because he loves us so much, he would rather lead you the long way around and get all the dirt out of you and off of you and not have you to walk into more dirt so that you can become a people of the Spirit and not roll in the dirt. God, help this church to quit rolling in the dirt. You know what? When you think about past trauma and past disappointments and people who have left you and people who have hurt you and people who have turned on this ministry and people who have falsely accused you and brought accusations to you that were totally out of order, when you start remembering those and rehearsing those, you're saying, God, I want to roll in the dirt some more. Lord, free us from the need to roll in the dirt. Free us from ourselves, because even your own self will cause you to feel like you owe yourself a trip to the mud hole. And God, I want to thank you. I don't owe myself that, and the devil doesn't owe me that. And I know you've delivered me from that, and I want to thank you that this is our year, sis, that we will be the people who walk consistently in the Spirit. And another verse that comes to my mind about this is God says, for there is therefore now, right now, I mean, not when we get to heaven out of this dirt area. Lord, can we be a people of the Spirit and still live and walk on this dirt? Oh, I think so. If you can walk on water, you can walk on dirt. And the Lord wants you to know there is right now, while you sit here worrying about it, there is right now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the dirt. See, don't walk after your, oh, well, Brother John, I was raised this way, and this is our family name, and this is our culture, and this is our ethnic group. You know what? Lord, teach us that we're not a people confined to the descriptions and to the argumentations of our past or what anyone else has ever said to us. We're not even limited to our blood. We're not even limited to our biological blood. Jesus, is there not a blood that's greater than the biological blood that's in me? Is there not a blood of Jesus that sets me free from the curses of biological blood? And I don't know what diseases people can get from their mom and from their daddy. But I know this, greater is he who is in me. And it's time for us to raise up into the realm of the Spirit and not so much gripe and complain and even prideful. You hear some people priding themselves on their culture and their heritage. And Lord, I had a great heritage and I thank you for it. But it is time for me to leave the heritage and move into the inheritance. It's time for me to leave about bragging or complaining about my past, because Lord, it's now that you're moving me into the future. I want to thank you that the future is here today. Hallelujah. And see, that's what God's saying. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that walk not after the dirt, but they walk even so after the Spirit. And another verse that'll help you realize God's heart. It's not an angry God saying, you better get up out of that dirt and wash yourself up. My mom used to say that. Young man, get in this house. You're going to take a bath. In fact, you can get behind your ears too. And I said, well, how do I get behind my ears? You know what I mean. Wash behind your ears. Because I didn't know how to get behind my ears. But anyway, the Bible says this. Now listen. Awake. Awake. You know, if you're ever going to see your dreams come true, you got to quit oversleeping. That is the truth. Awake, put on your beautiful garments, shake yourself from the dust. Shake yourself from what they said. Shake yourself from what daddy and mama did. Shake yourself from a past hurt in a church. Shake yourself from your past sin. Shake yourself loose from that stuff that keeps causing you to feel like you're a dust bunny. Loose yourself. Oh, no, God. I'm so bound up. You've got to come and loose me. Loose me, Jesus. Loose yourself. Rise up, O man of God in the Spirit, and loose yourself from everything and anything that's ever bound you, tied you up, or tied you down. See, we always want a superhero. God, if you'll do it for me, I'll enjoy it. But you've got the power in you to stand up and loose yourself in Jesus' name. I loose myself from my natural tendencies. I loose myself from the things and the way I usually think, my mindset. I loose myself from religiousness. See, that's the American church has to keep loosing themselves from the religious spirits. But Lord, this is our day. Turn with me to one other place in the Bible, Genesis chapter 26. Let's look at Isaac for a few minutes. Let's look at Isaac's life and what happened with him and how God is leading this church through a revelation from this word. And I want to go ahead and say this, Pastor Don and Pastor Michelle, who's there but not there. She's here but not here. Her spirit's here because she loves us. Pastor said we're one of the few people in ministry that she loves to come and hear. And I'm so grieved she can't be here to hear me personally. But maybe she'll get the CD. That'll be great. That'll be fine. But listen, I believe with all my heart. Listen, some of you here that you're just entering into your kingdom walk and you're saying, God can't do this with me. I mean, my life's been too... I believe there's a prophetic heart of God here today to tell you something, that I'm calling an end to the drought and the barrenness and the dustedness that's been in your life. I'm going to call an end to the drought, to where every time you walk, dust clouds just come up around you and you seem to choke instead of live. This is a day where I'm going to reverse that. For the people who are desperate for me, I will bring not only the former rains, but I'll bring the latter and the former rains together. And I'm going to cause the new wine and the new oil and the new grain to come forth in this season. And I believe this year, 2008, is more than just that little numerology thing. Well, the number 8 is new beginnings. And I believe that. But I believe God has set his heart in this ministry and for the people that have remained faithful, at least to be desperate for him. I believe that this is the year where you'll start tasting of the new wine and the new oil and the new grain. New wine meaning a whole new spirit of life and power and joy. New oil meaning a whole new dimension of anointing and empowering enablements in your life and through your life. And new grain meaning new revelation of who Jesus is. See, aren't you ready to continually know who Jesus is and not just know about him and what he did and where he was and where he's going? All of that's really good, Jesus. But you know what? You can't cast out a devil knowing about Jesus. You can't cast out demons knowing where he's going. But if you know who he is, no demons can stand that. And Lord, we want to thank you that this is the season where you're bringing that into our lives. But in this chapter in Genesis 26, there was a famine, beginning with verse 1. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine. How many of you have ever lived in one of those? You barely get out of a famine. You've had a trial, and then all of a sudden, here's another one on top of that one. God, is there ever any reprieve? Is there ever any relief for us? And Isaac knew this. He says, oh God, the famine on top of a famine. We need to get out of here. And some of you, because you've had a double famine, you forget about the double blessings that's coming after the double famine. And you gotta wait and be patient. And the angel of the Lord, thank God he has messengers that come by once in a while, whether in the flesh or as far as living in this earth or spiritual or through the Word of God itself. But thank God he always sends somebody to interrupt our plans of destruction. Because we are a people who in the flesh are geared towards self-destruction. And we'll take something that we think is wisdom, and we will destroy ourselves with it because it's earthy sensual wisdom and not spiritual wisdom from God. But thank God he always sends a messenger that says, whoa, 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 stop that. See, some of you tried to take your life one time, even years ago, maybe even recently, and something in you says, no, 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 you're not doing that. And something stopped you dead in your tracks, no, live in your tracks. And it stopped you. Hallelujah for that. And thank God that sometimes he doesn't even agree with what I believe is right, because he is right. And God, you can disagree with me anytime you want because it's always for my good. And so even today I hear the Lord saying to some of you, don't you go down to Egypt. Don't go down. See, every time you leave your land of promise, well, Brother John, I heard that before, and the prophets and the prophetesses have come here and they prophesied to us and they prophesied to me and we don't see it yet. You know, let me tell you something. Whatever you do, don't go down. If you leave your land of promise, what did God promise you even as a teenager? What did God promise you as a young man or a young lady? You know something? God is not a man that he can lie. And he will bring to pass that that he has sent forth into your heart. And Lord, help us not to be a people that always go down. When you leave your land of promise, you'll go down. You'll go down mentally. You'll go down emotionally. You'll go down spiritually. You'll go down financially. Your family will go down. There are men and women who are married and they're wondering, well, why are our kids so messed up? And they will not look at themselves and realize that it's not because God's ticked off at them and he's punishing them. It's because they left their land of promise and they went down. They went down to a human level. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Luke 19:41, I think it is. He says, O Jerusalem, if you only knew that this is your time of visitation, this is your day of peace. But because you did not recognize it and you went down in your spirit, so shall the enemy come now and embark around you and build walls around you, and he shall level you down to the ground, and so will your children be leveled to the ground. I think the worst thing that I see that probably grieves God, our Father in heaven, is when adults get so misconstrued with their relationship with God and get so angry or frustrated or disappointed in God that they go down to a level of carnality or human effort, and by them doing that, their kids don't have a chance to really know God. You see, and it's important too, I'll go ahead and say this to you. In one place in this scripture, Isaac, because he had gone down in his own spirit, he had gone down to a flesh man instead of a spirit man, he tells the men of that region where he's at in the land of the Philistines, Abimelech, he does the same lie and the same weakness that his father did years ago. He said, this is not my wife, this is my sister. He was so afraid of losing his own life that he went down into the realm of lying about his wife and called Rebecca his sister. Abimelech would have had relationship with her, except that one day before all of it would have happened, he saw Isaac sporting with Rebecca, which means flirting, kissing, smooching. And he knew, he said, you don't do that to your sister. Not if you're normal. There's people today that aren't normal, you know. There's two abnormals God loves. There's two abnormals and God loves one of them. One of them is to be abnormal for God. But the one he grieves is when you're just abnormal. And the Bible says this. Watch this. In Genesis there. Abimelech said, why did you lie to us? Because you lied to us, you brought guilt and shame and judgment on us. And I believe the unbelieving world is out there saying, why have you lied to us? Why have you lied to yourself? Because if you lie to yourself, we're the ones that's going to be judged. And church, you got to quit lying to yourself. You got to quit saying, well, I'm not one of those called ones. I'm not one of those ordained ones. I'm not one of those anointed ones. I just come here to try to get my life back together. You know what? That's really a lie. Because God's going to do more than just get your life back together. And once you realize who you are and you're not a flesh person worrying about you and worrying about your circumstances as much as you are having a desire to please God, you know what? You'll live in a truth. Your life will be a truth, and the truth who's in you will be revealed through you, and people in the world will not be judged anymore because they will know Jesus through you. And Lord, that's why one reason why I want you to cause me to become a truth man. I don't want to just serve you because I was told by my dad that I was called to the ministry and I need to follow through and my dad was a minister, therefore I am. God, I don't want any of that. I want to serve you in the truth of who I am, in the truth of who Jesus is in me. And it goes on, and it says here that Isaac went down, was going to go down to Egypt, but the angel of the Lord said, no, 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 stay in the land. And I'm hearing God say this, Pastor. I know that there are things that God's promising you guys, things that He's leading you to, even different arenas. There are some transitions about to happen in here that the people have got to be ready to let God be their transition and not worry about the details. But I tell you, I hear the Lord saying, whatever you do, stay in your land. I don't mean geographically. I mean stay in the land of the spiritual dynamics of authority and promise and prophecy and anointing that I've called you to. Because when you stay in your land of promise, don't let an unbelieving husband or wife or children argue you out of your promise. Stay in your land. Don't let your track record, well, Brother John, I failed God last week, therefore I'm dismissed. No, no, no. You know what? Failure is never the end. What you need to learn to do is fall forward instead of backwards. If you're going to fall, at least fall toward God. But see, God is great at redeeming failure. And see, here the angel of the Lord says, if you'll dwell in your land, plant where you are. Quit griping and moaning and saying, well, it's not harvest time here. And if we would go, at least in Egypt, they would feed us. See, that's the problem. When you get discouraged with God, you're always looking for someone else to feed you. You want somebody else to take care of it. But God, we are the people You've called, and we are going to stay in the land of the promise. We're not going into the land of regret. We're not going into the land of sweat and fret. We're not going into the land of opinions and argumentation. God, we're staying in the land of the promise. You have said. It wasn't just Pastor Don, and then before him, Pastor Jim. They said some things, but God, was it not You through them? And God, haven't You said to me personally? And Lord, it's time for us to become a people who want to see the rivers of God. And the angel said, if you'll stay in your land and plant where you are. Well, Brother John, I need another husband. How am I ever going to be fruitful with that heathen man I'm married to? Or that heathen woman I'm married to? Or those, you know what? No excuses. Because God can cause you to be fruitful. Ask Joseph. He named his youngest son Ephraim. And he says, for the Lord has caused me to be fruitful even in my land of affliction. And Lord, I want to thank You that Charlotte is a land of affliction, except that it's our land of fruitfulness. And we're going to quit concentrating on the affliction part of it, and we're going to start rejoicing this year on the fruitful part of it, because You will make us fruitful even in the land where we are. Well, if we just move to a better side of town, if I could just move to a better neighborhood, if I could just have a better family. You know what, God? None of that is the criteria. The criteria is that You have ordained me to be fruitful, and I'm ready to be fruitful, and I'm ready for You to deal with me in whatever areas that have been prohibiting the fruit. Come, O Lord God, and make us fruitful again in Jesus' name. And so the angel said, if you'll dwell in your land, I'll cause you to be fruitful in the same year in which you plant. He says, plant where you are. Now, I want to encourage some of you here today, and we're trying to get this thing to a culmination of where you'll understand the whole deal. You need to quit planting seeds of doubt and discord and anger and frustration if that's what you're doing. Or even seeds of impatience. Do you know why the Israelites built the golden calf? Because Moses didn't show up in time. They were in such a hurry. They said, what's become of this Moses You gave us? And here he was in God's presence getting them revelation. And they became impatient. And see, impatience always leads to idolatry. And God, I want to thank You that You heal us from being such an impatient people. And it's not all Your fault, because we're trained to get things quick now. There are people who can't even wait for the internet to come on. They're already calling Time Warner saying, we want that fast stuff. I mean, we can go all over the world in about 2 minutes, but we want it in 10 seconds now. And God, just heal us from that attitude of impatience, because that always makes golden calves. We'll worship other things in order to get something now. But Lord, this church has been called to worship the Lord their God with all their heart and no other gods before them. Amen. And so He says, if you'll plant where you are, plant good seed. Start planting good seed. Because see, there's somebody in here that you somehow religiousness, and again, not your fault, but sometimes the church has preached this, that, well, since you sowed those things back there, you're going to reap them the rest of your life. So you may as well just get ready to reap. At least God will have blessings on you and God will have mercy on you, but you're going to reap that all your life. See, I don't believe that. I believe there are consequences that we will see that will remind us not of how bad we were, but how great Jesus is. See, every consequence that comes into my life because of my past failure, Satan doesn't get any joy out of it anymore, because that consequence doesn't tell me how bad I was. That consequence shows me how great Jesus is. And see, you need to know that you're not in that old field anymore. You ask any farmer anywhere that has any brains, and they'll tell you, you can't ever get more than 2 harvests off of 1 planting, and even that's unusual. And yet you sowed seeds 20 years ago, and 20 years later, you're still harvesting off of that thing? Something's wrong with that. I think there's a lying, deceptive spirit that's come to you, telling you you deserve to be punished all your life. You know what? What I'm telling you to do is get out of that field. That's not even your field anymore. What are you doing in there? And besides that, God's burnt that field. You need to get into the field God's called you to and plant some new seed. See, instead of reaping the old seed that's dead anyway, start planting some new seed in the name of Jesus. And the angel said to Isaac, man, don't gripe and don't go down to Egypt. This famine on top of the famine, that's nothing to God. He says, plant right now and I'll give you a harvest this year. Now watch this. Isaac believed the Lord. How many of you believe him? See, and Isaac believed the Lord and he stayed. It didn't feel good. He says, you know, look at it. God is everywhere. Barrenness, dryness, drought. But he believed God and he stayed in place. And you got to rise up to who you are right now. Believe God and stay in your place. And in that same year, he had a 100-fold harvest. And I believe this is the year for this church and for you personally. And here's what the Bible says. I love this. He says, and Isaac began to prosper. How many of you would at least like to begin to prosper? And see, this is your year to begin to prosper. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, even financially. I put financial on the last part because that's the least of my concerns. Although I hope you give good when the love offering comes around. But see, God wants you to prosper spiritually. He wants you to prosper in the dynamics of boldness and confidence and power over demons and power over diseases and power over confusion. Lord, let these people know that this is their year to prosper. But Isaac began to prosper, and the Bible says he continued to prosper. Lord, where is this God that can keep us prospering? Why does it have to be 1 week and then the next week we're back in the wilderness again? Is there not a God that can keep us prospering? Yes, if our relationship with him is continually prospering with him. I would that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. I want you to be blessed. See, I love that scripture, and I'm going around the world here today, and I love it. Oh, I love it. But I love that scripture, 3 John 2, that says, above all else, and he was writing through John, but it was the inspiration of Holy Spirit, above all else, I want you to prosper and be in good health. But see, you limit prosperity to a few bucks and a bigger house and a nicer car and some good clothes. Well, man, that's cheap stuff. The real prosperity is power and authority and victory and peace and joy and righteousness and being able to give God another generation that believes God and they move in the miraculous. See, some of you parents need to wake up because you're just hoping you'll make it to heaven. You need to get back with God in such a way that your children have an opportunity to move into the power of God. And he says, I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers. That word in the Greek actually means, I want you to be well while you're doing well. See, some of you believe God's only interested in how well you do. Well, I got to finish well. You know, after all, that's what God's judging. And how many people will I get saved? How many will I get healed? How many times did I overcome the enemy when he tempted me? You know, all of those things are vital to our life. But what God's saying there is, I'm not as concerned about how well you perform as how well you're living. How well are you? Are you well spiritually? How's your emotions? You have to be hyped every so often to even have a good day? How's your mind? Is your mind well or is it trashy? And trashy doesn't mean just pornography and sensuality and sexual stuff. Trashy can mean I'm no good. I'm a nothing. How well is your relationship with people? Are you still holding up walls because you got so hurt you're not going to let anybody in? How well is your ministry? Not what you do for me, but who you are to me. How well are you? And so you need to know about the Father today. We're not talking about God here. He is God. We're talking about your Father. I want you to be well. Your being well is more important than your doing well to me. Because if you'll let me make you well, you'll always do well. See, doing well is a result of being well. And I want you to be well in your spirit today. He began to prosper, and he continued to prosper, sis. But I like this third part. You may as well take it all. Until he became so prosperous that even his enemies were jealous. You know how you win an enemy over? Be something great that they're jealous of. Please God. The Bible says when a man's ways please God, he'll even make his enemies be at peace. And see, we think that verse means God's so tough, he'll come to my enemy and say, you will be at peace with him or you get one of these. And I got a twin brother over here. It used to be this one was enough, but at my age, I need two of them. But God's not saying that. He says, when your ways and your heart and your spirit please me, I will even transform and remake your enemies so that they won't be enemies to you anymore. You want God to touch some of the people that hurt you the most? It's not by intimidation. It's not by confirmation and pressing. But let God bless you so much through your relationship with Him that they become jealous. And they say, I want that God you have. And see, that's what God's saying here today. And so the Philistines finally came to Isaac and they said, you're too great for us. Move on. We can't handle you. Wouldn't it be something if your enemies thought you were so great? You're too great for us. You see, religion hates grace. It hates the power of God. And it hates the blessings of God. And there's going to be times where God's going to so bless you and so prosper you that sometimes the very people that you're surrounded by may say, man, you're too great. Leave us. But don't let that destroy you. Because God has an awesome way of coming back later and causing the same people who want you to be away from them to now make peace with them and be covenant with them. And some of you are worried about the ones that still hate you, resist you, mock you, and kind of pushed you out. But if you keep your heart right, you keep your relationship intact, stay in the land of promise, the day will come where the very people who once pushed you away will ask you to do something for them from God. See, God's good at taking the stone that was rejected and making it become a chief cornerstone. But the key is this, don't let poison enter your heart during the time of rejection. See, everybody is rejected. That's not a spirit or an attitude. That's what people do to people. But dejection is where when you take their rejection and you take it personally and put it inside. See, it's no big deal to be rejected. You ought to be rejected. Jesus was rejected. But the Bible says in Isaiah 42, I think, verse 4, it says, he refused to be offended, even though he was rejected. He refused to be offended and take it personally because he knew he needed to bring justice for all. And you need to ask God today to help you to become one of those people that step up above the level of dejection where I take what somebody said, what somebody did, somebody left me, somebody abused me, somebody molested me. You know what? In the name of Jesus Christ, get your hands off of that and let it go and let God redeem that and quit dejecting yourself off of what they rejected you from, because rejection really will promote you if you get your hands off of it. And here's what happened. Isaac says, okay, I won't get offended at you and I'm not going to hate you. We'll move on. And the Bible says in Genesis 26, he moved on to the land of Gerar, or Gerar, whatever way they want to pronounce it. The land of Gerar in the Hebrew, it means this. Is Bubba? I haven't met you yet, but I'd like to. Hey, Bubba. I love a guy named Bubba. That is good. Hi, Becca. Good to see you again.
I love that guy.
Hey, my friend. Bless you today, too. I know you do. But see, the word Gerar there, if you look in Genesis 26, it actually means this. They moved to the land where it reminded them of their past. Past failures, past hurts, past pains. You hurt my dad. You guys covered up his wells. My dad Abraham dug these wells. And these were great wells. And you Philistines, you dust people, covered them over. And Isaac was in that land where it was remembering the past. But God is saying to this church, this is the day where you're moving out of that land. Move beyond Gerar. It's not about your past. It's not about who hurt you. It's not about what you've done. See, there's some people that won't ever move into the gloriousness of God because they're stuck on what they used to do for God. And because of that need for self-worth, they go back to when they felt they were worthy and did something notable. And you got to know it's not what you do to God that's notable. It's who you are to God that's notable. And so he went, and even after the land of Gerar, if you look in your scriptures, he started, and watch this, he started redigging the wells of his father. Isaac felt he owed it to his father to redig those wells, and I'm glad he did, because that is very important. See, some of you, the enemy and trials and tribulation has thrown dirt on your heritage. It's thrown dirt on your life. And see, you are called of God to dig that dirt out of there. See, what is the dirt that came onto you? What is the dirt that came into you? What is it that you're covering your wells with today? Is it condemnation, shame, guilt, inadequacy, inferiority, self-rejection? Is it religiousness? Needing to look so righteous before people that you do it by religiousness rather than relationship with Jesus? See, I don't know who covered the dirt, the wells, and who threw dirt on them. And the enemy will always be glad to give you another shovel full if you want it. In fact, he loves it when you take the shovel and put it in yourself. That's what some of you are doing. You're digging dirt and throwing it right back into your own well. And God, we're through with that. And so they went past Gerar, and they went to a well that when he dug it, and it was his father's past well, it was Essek. And the word Essek in the Hebrew actually means continuously quarreling, constant pressure. Seems like there's no remedy. And some of you, you've endeavored to move forward with God in your walk and in your ministry life and in your calling, and there's always those quarreling voices, arguing voices. Those voices that bring accusation. But you know what? I know this. The Lord's saying this church is moving on. You're not going to live at Essek. You're moving on. Thank you that you would redig that well so that water flows instead of dirt. Thank you that you care about your heritage. But you're moving on now. And the Bible says that Isaac and his men moved on from there because they weren't going to stay at a land where they had to quarrel and argue and contentiousness. And so they moved on and they dug another well in verse 21. And they quarreled over that one also. So he called it the name Sitna, which means enmity and strife. And the word Sitna actually means opposition by false accusations in attempt to disqualify you. There's no doubt that in your life and in his life, because of who this church is, that not only the satanic powers have come against you with accusations and threats, but some religiousness, people that have religious spirits. And they will accuse you of who do you think you are, and you're always and this and this and this. You know what? God's saying to us, this is the day where if you realize it's blessed, you're blessed to be persecuted and falsely accused. It's a great blessing. You don't have to believe it, do you? Do you have to drink poison because somebody offers it to you? No, you know what? I'm learning something, and I used to be afraid to say this, but I love God, and He loves me, and I'm learning to love me. And I love me too much to drink poison anymore. I love me too much to inject what you may say about me. Because you know something? It's time that we love ourselves to the point that we'll quit drinking their poison, and some of you need to quit giving yourself the poison. Because blessed is the man or woman who's been falsely accused and even threatened. God has some great things for you, but just stay in your land of promise. And then Isaac went on to another well, and this one you know about. It's called Rehoboth. And the word Rehoboth actually means, for God has made plenty of room for us, and we will be fruitful. And that's where a lot of the churches in America are today. They're so thankful they've got room, and they're fruitful. But boy, there's a real deceptiveness to that. You can become carefree and lackadaisical and lazy just dwelling in the place that you think God's made room for you. Even there, you need to be aware there's something more than just God has made so much room for us and caused us to be fruitful. And I thank God, Rebecca, that He's made room for us. Yeah, I have. Barb, thank you. I should have sipped this. I love her heart. She was making sure I had water. I love it that God's made room for this church and this ministry. But man, that's just the beginning. There's more than just the room God's made for us. And there's something greater coming. Now listen to this carefully, and I'm glad Sister Barb's here because she'll understand this. Up till this point, Isaac basically lived his whole life redigging his own father's wells. And that was good. God says, thank you that you loved your father and my ministry through him enough that you would redig and help dig dirt out of those wells. But now Isaac is about to go and dig a well that his father never dug. And it was in the land of Beersheba. And that word Sheba in the Bible actually means this is the well of the covenant. This is the well of the seven. The six is done, the seven's here, and it's time for God. And I believe with all my heart God's honoring you, Don and Michelle, that you cared enough to help when the enemy came and tried to throw dirt on this well. And you said, my God, with all my heart, I'll redig it. And you did it with a good spirit. And through teaching and praying and intercessory prayers and moaning and groaning at nights and travailing in the Spirit, you kept digging and saying, you know what? This well will be profitable again. The Spirit of God that is in the well that my father dug in this place, it will flow again. The life of Jesus and the waters of life. And God says, yes. But He says, son, this one is one that you and I are going to dig. And water's going to come out of this one that no man's ever drank before. And it's fresh water, and it's from heaven. And it's going to be glorious. And I want to thank God that there's people in here that are going to finally come to a point in their life where they're going to start digging wells that are beyond what their fathers dug, beyond their past culture and heritage and even what they heard in churches. God's called this church to dig something that's not mimicked and copied off of other ministries that are successful. See, that's not living water when you transport it from another area into here. But God has living waters that are about to flush and flow and flood through this church and this ministry. And I mean, it's water straight from heaven. And God says, get ready, son, because I will honor all the days that you honored your father and your mother and the ministry that I called them to this place. And now the waters are flowing good in this place, but get ready now. In 2008, there's a new well coming, and that well's going to gush with new springs of living waters that have never, ever been touched by men. And it's going to be glorious. You'll even get to drink from it too. You don't just dig, you get to drink. But I'm going to finish this word today, and you need to hear it to yourselves. See, God's coming to you saying, if you want to, I'll take you beyond what your fathers did, what your mothers did, what your past generations did. See, you're not the result of a past generation. You're the result of a future generation. See, even David said it in the Psalms, God will always have a posterity. That word posterity means a future generation that will not compromise, and they will move in His glory, and they will tell His story. See, even the Bible in Isaiah, it says, who shall declare His generation? Talking about Jesus. Why? Because He was cut off from the land of the living. And so He didn't have children. He never married. And He doesn't have children in the physical to carry on His history. But He has spiritual children. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. And we become joint heirs with Jesus. He's our elder brother. And we've got the same Father He has. And so we are the ones that have been called to be the posterity. We are the future generations. And God, our job isn't to protect the older generation as much as it is, let's carry all of us who have been gifted and blessed by the older generations before us, and now let's move into the generation of God. Why did God consider David to be a man after His own heart? It certainly wasn't because David lived right. David was a terrible sinner. When he did fail, he failed miserably. But it's because of this. In Acts 13:26, I believe it is, it says, because David served his generation by the will of God. And Lord, let us be the generation that now serves our generation. God, do in us what You need to in order for us to reach this generation we're in now. Because see, they need something more than what used to be. They need something more than what was. They need to see who is. They need to see the revelational presence of Jesus Christ. Not revelational doctrine of Jesus. They need to see Him in our lives, sis. They need to see Him so bless us that they want to be blessed because Jesus is blessing you that much. He's healing you. He's delivering you. He's meeting your needs. He's healing our marriages. He's putting us back together. And therefore, we want that same Jesus that You have because we see His awesome, mighty works in your life. And God, let us be that generation that have been chosen to be the whole generation, the generation that's been made whole by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's where we're heading to. Wholeness isn't just so I can say I'm problem-free. Wholeness is so that Jesus in me will never be restricted when someone else needs a miracle. I want to be so whole in Jesus that people get miracles all the time. Could you stand with me this morning? I believe, I'm not positive, but I believe I sent a similar word to Pastor Don privately. But the Lord says to remind him and to remind you publicly. For this is the season that will be the culminations of all the seasons. For everything, there is a season, Rebecca. There's a season for everything. You've gone through some seasons. Some of them have been great. Some of them have been terrible. And they weren't your fault. None of them were. And it wasn't our goodness that brought even the good seasons. I'm amazed at how the devil will blame us for bad seasons and then make us feel prideful for the good ones. It has nothing to do with us. But for everything, there's a season. Some of you have gone through some hellish seasons even after serving Jesus, even in this year of your life, and you thought, well, God, I thought by now You were through dealing with me. But don't forget the second part of that verse. But there is a time for every purpose. Sis, this year is the time where God will come by sovereign timing, this year, and He will show you the purposes of every season you've gone through. He'll show you why. But not why, like, see, you wouldn't have gone through that if it wasn't for this. It isn't a finger pointing God saying, that's why you went through it. No, it's the God that says, let me show you the glory side of why you went through that hurt and that pain and even that death. Let me show you why. Because this miracle's about to happen. See, when God shows us why, brother, it isn't blaming you for why you had those seasons. He's getting ready to reveal something supernatural that says, you know what? It's worth it to you that you went through that season because here's what's about to happen. And you need to get ready for that. Because there's a time for every purpose to be seen. And God, I'm not threatening God today, but God, by His own words, owes it to you to show you why you went through every season. And when I show you why, son, it's going to be by manifestational glory. It won't be by finger pointing. It'll be because this is what I'm going to do. And Lord, come in here and show these wonderful people, the wise, of why they went through everything they did. But this season shall God bring to pass, even in this ministry, the transition and transformation from the people of the well to the people of the river. And I will, starting this season, I will bring supernatural prophetic rivers in this church. There's a threefold anointing for rivers that are about to happen in this place. They're already in place and God's about to unleash them, release them. The first one is the prophetic river. And in the bellies of your own people, the people here, even some that others say, they can never be used of God that greatly. Look at their life and look at their inabilities. The Lord will bring a supernatural prophetic river beginning to flow out from your own people. Your people will no longer have a tendency to be pathetic in their thinking and their words and their actions. I will heal them from pathetic to prophetic. And it's not that they can give prophecy in church and say, thus saith the Lord, and make people feel good. No, no, no. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. Your people have been trained by my Spirit, and this is the season where it's going to rise up. And they will stand against the onslaughts of hell itself that's coming against the whole city. But there will be a few in this city that will stand up by the prophetic voice of the Lord. From within them, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And I will speak out through them, and through their words that I give to them, shall the hordes of hell back off from their people and their locations and from this city. I'm going to these people have been called to be my prophets and prophetesses. Not to go around in the churches and prophesy, but to prophesy against hell in this city. To prophesy against the intentions of demons on people's lives. And I will honor it because I'll put the words in them. But there's going to come a priestly river. The Lord says a priestly river is going to start flowing. Not only the prophetic river is going to flow in this church like never before and through this church, but a priestly river. The priestly river is Ezekiel 47. For out from under the threshold of the temple in this place, you call this place your temple, but you are the temple and you are the temple. And corporately together you become a great temple. Out from within the temple itself shall come a priestly river. This is the river that connects God to the people and people to God. This is the river that out of the church itself shall flow, and it shall be filled with compassions and mercies and grace, and it'll have healing in it. And everything that it flows is going to flow out of the boundaries of this location in this place called a building. But this river shall begin to flow in your communities and on your jobs and in your homes. And out of this river shall come healing. And every place this river touches shall be healed and shall turn from barrenness into fruitfulness. And your people, you're going to be amazed, Pastor, at the people that will begin to be the priestly rivers of healing in this city like never before. Many, many, many miracles will happen out there, and they'll bring them in here. But the third fold river that God put in my heart to say that this church is moving into right now, threefold at one time. I said one time, not just, well, if you get this one right, then this one, then that. No, 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 threefold. And this one is the kingly river. Prophet, priest, king. Revelation 22. And I saw a great river, and it flowed from the throne of God itself. And it flowed from the altars of heaven. And it flowed into the earth. And everywhere it flowed, people began to be healed. Trees began to grow. And these trees even began to have healing factors. I'll make the trees to become healing. And I shall cause your people to be like trees planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth their fruit in their season. And their leaf won't wither like it was before. But I hear God saying this kingly river that comes from the throne of God already into this church is one with authority and power. It's one that doesn't rule over people, but it rules over demons. It rules over principalities. It rules over darkness. There's a new authority coming into this ministry. An authority over the very powers of hell that would take this city. I've got to raise a people up somewhere that know that authority. And this is the people. And this kingly river shall flow forth from my throne into your hearts. And so I just hear the Lord saying, be aware and be wise and be ready. This is the season for the threefold rivers. Prophetic rivers, priestly rivers, and kingly rivers. Father, I want to thank you today. That your calling is to every one of these people in this building. You're calling us to quit being sippers at the well only. And you're calling us to become a people who are available to you right now to undam. That's what I'm hearing God say. Things, people, situations, past feelings and hurts, disappointments, even some of your past sins that you won't forgive yourself about, and I have. I'm coming today to undam the waters that have been penned up within you. I'm coming to break the barriers. And I'm even coming to increase the depth of the waters. And in your own personal lives, so shall there be a new flushing. I'm going to flush out the debris, the poisons, the infections, the aftermath of your past, of the hurt, of the place where they touched you. But I'm not only going to flush it out, I'm coming to flow out from within you. I'm going to flow with a new spirit of life. You're not going to be reactors anymore. You're not going to react to the junk that was in you, but you're going to be so healed and transformed by my spirit that you will be able to flow with a flowing of living waters. But I'm also going to not only come and flush and flow, but listen, you that are standing here, I'm going to flood you. I'm going to overflood you. I'm going to bring so much waters that you can't keep it for yourself anymore. And people all around you are going to start tasting, instead of tasting bitter water, infected water, polluted water, and stagnant waters, they're going to taste the waters of Jesus again. Get ready, O daughters. Get ready, O sons. You who have even tasted your own cistern and it was embittered and it poisoned you, and it just left a bad taste in your own mouth about you. Get ready, for this is the day. If you will humble your hearts to me, I will heal the waters that are in your life and bring living waters again. We thank you for this, Jesus. One more scripture and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor, because I think the Lord's ministering to many of you. 1 Samuel 2:8 says of God, and this is awesome, He takes the poor man out of the dirt. In the name of Jesus, this is your day to get up out of the dirt. Get up out of who you think you are and get up into who He says you are. Get up out of your physical, biological, and even your name, your last names, your earthly names. Get up out of that. For I will lift the poor man, the man who's broken in heart, not the man who beats himself down, but the man who says, oh God, I'm so poor in spirit, I want you. I'll lift him up out of the dirt. And I will lift the beggar up out of the ash heap. Some of you that have had to beg and hope for handouts, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, maybe even financially, some people in here that you've had to depend on others. You know what? This is the day where God's going to turn that around. And you're not going to be the beggar. Because I'm going to raise you up out of the ash heaps. I'm going to raise you up out of thinking you have to beg me for a miracle, beg me for a goodness. And then the last part of that verse says this, and I love it. He says, I'm going to set you among princes because you are one of my princes. You are one of my priests. You are one of my kings. And even in this season will I set you among other princes that you may inherit thrones of glory. You guys have thought for a long while, and I listened to some of his messages. Good night. They cut. They dig. And you're saying, God, can you be that disappointed? No, no, no. It's not a God who's disappointed in you. It's not a God who's picking on you. It's a God who's picking you out. Picking you out from the ordinary. See that sister right there? I don't know how many years young she is. I love her. But see, she won't be like other mature people that just dry up and waste away and say, well, maybe God will give me a few handouts. No, God wants to touch people that are beyond our age and cause them to get a fresh anointing and to become active in the power of God again. But see, he wants to put you on thrones of glory. We've had enough glory.
Amen.
King, you're a king. Oh, thank you. Thank you that you would be.
Amen.
See, we're not just results of our physical or our mental or our emotional or our what daddy said or did. I'm not a result of what anybody's done. I'm a result of what he's doing. And see, sis, you're one of the kings. I mean, you are one of the living kings. The Bible says he's made out of all of us, kings and priests, unto his God and his Father. See, God doesn't see Sharon as a worship leader playing the keyboard and helping us. I mean, that's awesome, but what he sees you as is one of his kings, one of his priests. And you're just beloved and blessed of him. Sets us among thrones of glory. And I tell you what, and Pastor knows this, I was raised up in that attitude. Well, yeah, that throne of glory. One day we'll get out of here and we get to get up there and worship at Jesus' feet at the throne of glory. You know what? That throne of glory ought to be right here. Jesus said, Father, I got to tell you something before I die on the cross, as if God didn't know it. He said, you know that glory you gave me? He says, I sure did. It was a glory of supernatural and power, healing, deliverance, raising the dead, wisdom and understanding me and walking righteous. Jesus said, well, I got news for you, Father. I gave it to them. He said, you did what? No, God says, that's exactly what I wanted you to do. I don't want Rebecca just to be able to make it out of here and get to a place of glory. I want some glory to come to her. See, you know what? We don't have to make it up to God. We don't have to make it up to God what happened in our life. What I love about God, Bubba, is he wants to make it up to you. Half of what you went through, no, more than half, had nothing to do with anything you deserved or that God was up there saying, yeah, Bubba just needs a little more work. But I tell you what, God knows some of the hurt and pain that you went through as a teenager, especially with fatherhood stuff. And God says, I'm going to make it up to him. If you ever get that in your heart, you'll never ever doubt again how much God loves you. Because brother, I think even this year in y'all's marriage and in your home, God's ready to come and make it up to you. Not that he failed, but make it up to you to show you that his intentions to bless you are 1,000 times more than the enemy's intentions to tear you up. And I'm telling you, God's going to prove himself. You're like me. I hope that doesn't hurt your feelings. But I always had to have God prove to me. I'm not going to jump through hoops because somebody else does, and I'm not going to roll and shout and yell. And see, I see a man like that in you. God, if this stuff is real, you show me. Because you know what? You don't like hypocrisy, even though you and I have some hypocrisy. We're little hypocrites. We're not big ones, just little ones. But God says to tell you today that he loves that about you. And that he is coming this year. And he's going to start personally revealing some stuff to you. And he's going to convince you. You don't need convicting. He's going to convince you that he's a great father, and you can go all the way with him, and don't be reserved.